Welcome to Eugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Eugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Eugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Eugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Brad. I've got Sam and Trevor in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Brad. How are you this morning?
I'm doing just fine. It's hot, but it's not too humid yet, so I'm okay.
It's only 85. It's not hot.
Well, it will be hot by the end of the day.
Well, will be and being are two different things.
So you should be glad to have me here this morning.
I am. I'm glad because I know for the next 2 weeks I'm going to be on my own.
You are.
Indeed. And where are you going to be, if I may ask?
At the beach.
At the beach.
Not giving you any more than that.
Okay.
So, actually, this is the first time we'll have a two-week vacation in at least 15 years. So,
is that because you have no confidence in me?
Well, no, it's because I'm just fed up with you.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
And I know that you're going to pay me back a couple weeks later.
That's right.
Anyway, got a great show this morning. We have a return guest from who was on our show very early on, 2.5 years ago in December of 2009. We have Sandy Thurber with us from Gwinnett Extended Care, and she's also brought with her today Elizabeth Joseph. So good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You all doing all right this morning?
We're great.
Feel great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for making the trek over here. We appreciate you taking the time.
No problem.
So, as we always do, if we could just start we'll go one at a time here, but if you could introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, where you went to school, how you got to be doing what you're doing today.
Okay. Sandy. That's okay.
I'll start. I'm originally from Mississippi. Got my bachelor's degree from University of Southern Mississippi. Go Eagles. And my husband's work brought us to Georgia and started looking around here, ended up at Gwinnett Extended Care about 6 years ago. Love it. Love the hospital system. It's the first time I've worked in a hospital-based skilled nursing facility. I've worked at several others, and I love what I do there. It's a great company to work with, and the employees are all great. So,
are they... finish the construction at the campus?
Still working on it.
Yeah, it's not going to be finished, is it?
Eventually, maybe, but a big piece of it's done, which included our cardiac care. And that's a huge project that we're now 100% involved in.
And if our memory serves me correctly, driving up and down the interstates of Atlanta, I've seen advertisements indicating that the hospital Gwinnett Medical System is one of the top 100? What's the number?
Yes, we're one of the top 100 in the nation. Here's my little badge in providing excellence of care.
Good, good. All right, that's great. Let's move over to Elizabeth. Good morning, Elizabeth. I know this is new for you. We take a deep breath and smile, which you are. You'll be fine. Tell us a little bit about yourself again, where you're from, and how'd you get with Gwinnett Medical System?
Good morning, Sam. I enjoy being here. I'm originally from India, and I came to the United States about 25 years ago. My husband's job brought us over here, and I've been in Georgia for about 17 years, 14 of those years in Gwinnett Medical Center. I live in Lawrenceville, so Gwinnett Hospital is right across the street. So I've enjoyed working there. I've also worked in another subacute nursing facility. But like Sandy said, the hospital-based subacute nursing facility is great to work in. I enjoy working there. I've got my bachelor's in science from India, and I did my nursing in New Jersey. Actually, I was a teacher in India. And when I came here, I just thought my accent would be difficult with school children, so I decided to change my profession and went into nursing.
That's great.
And I enjoyed being a nurse.
Great. Let's go back to Sandy. Sandy, you are is a licensed social worker. What's your designation?
No, I'm not licensed in the state of Georgia. Okay. I have a bachelor's degree in sociology with an emphasis on social work.
Oh, okay. And the functions between the two, let's start there. Sandy, tell us what your, quote, function is at Extended Care, and we'll go over to Elizabeth.
Okay. A lot of mine and Elizabeth's functions do overlap. Elizabeth is in a fairly new position for us, and we're still finding our way through it.
So really, you have no official title. Is that right, Elizabeth? Okay. I'll get you in trouble. We'll have a manager from Gwinnett Medical System listening to this.
But I am the designated social worker for the facility, the only one. And we have 89 residents there. We offer long-term care, and we offer the short-term rehab. And I work with both populations, although they are very different in their needs. Long-term residents, their needs are different. This is their home, and we're trying to meet different needs than we are on the short-term rehab residents that are in and out on a short-term basis, meeting their needs for the community and for them to transition back home. Do a lot of resident rights, customer service, things, education with the staff. Obviously, with the state involved, there's tons of documentation, paperwork, assessments that are constantly being done. Elizabeth and I work hand in hand on the admission process. We look at referrals from all our hospitals, doctor's offices, communities, other nursing homes. We are responsible for the admission process, looking at insurance. We have a business office manager, Sandy Rupert, who does an awesome job at looking at all the different Medicare replacements so that we can get our residents in. And then we also, Elizabeth and I work hand-in-hand on any of the discharge process.
Great. Elizabeth, I'm looking at your title here, and I believe you have down Medicare nurse. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Tell us what that involves.
Like Sandy said, it's fairly a new position. It's like a case manager. It's a new position that was opened up a few months ago, and I used to cover for the case manager and for social service department when they went on vacation. So when this position opened up, I said, I can handle it. And working with Sandy is just great. I said, okay, this is a good experience for me.
Do you deal only with Medicare issues, or are you more of a generalist? In
mostly Medicare right now. That includes insurance and Medicaid residents also. But mainly what I do is when we have referrals from the hospitals and from different nursing homes and doctor's offices, I look at the clinical part of their care, and I try to make sure that we are able to provide the services that they need at our facility. And if we can, I look at the different diagnoses and all that, and then we let the family know that we can accept this patient and we can take care of their needs. And once they come into our facility, I follow their care, make sure that they are getting the therapy that they need, follow up with doctor's appointments, speak with doctors if needed on the follow-up care. Yeah. And when they are ready to be discharged, along with Sandy, we plan the discharge.
Well, I can tell you, Medicare nurse does not do justice to your duties.
What you just said, well, yeah, that's for sure.
Well, thank you. Like you said, I hope the manager is listening.
I made up for the earlier.
Yes. Okay.
So what percentage of your residents are long-term residents versus the short-term rehab?
We usually carry anywhere between 20 and 30 rehab patients. We have a total of 89. So the rest of the residents are considered long-term care.
And are you full?
We're not today, but we
most
hope to be
time.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes.
So certainly one of the issues that we see and we hear a lot is that there are so many of the facilities are full. It's hard to get a bed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same with your facility? And talk about the difference between extended care and some other skilled nursing facilities.
Okay. Well, our main difference is that we are owned by Gwinnett Medical Center. And as being part of the hospital system, our first source of referrals is always our own hospital. You know, we were built so that the hospital had a place for the rehab patients to come out of the hospital. So that's our first connection. Your other nursing homes, as far as Gwinnett County, can look at referrals anywhere. You know, they can look at any hospital, you know, any source of referral they want to. Ours is always our own hospital system, John Glancy, GMC Duluth, GMC Lawrenceville. Also, we have a wonderful set of resources right across the road from us. We have specialists, we have doctors, we have immediate lab, x-ray, pharmacy services that we are so fortunate to have right there on campus that other facilities sometimes struggle with. The one thing that people, I think, misunderstand is that they just assume all the doctors at the hospital are just going to come over to the GECC, mm-hmm. and that's not the case. Most of the doctors will not come over there. They want to see the resident in their office. So that's usually one of the first disappointments that the residents have. And also that even though we are connected to the hospital, the doctors are not going to come every day like they're accustomed to in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Even though they're across the street and they're close right. by, Medicare guidelines are that the doctor is going to get paid to see you once a month.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another thing. Well, he's right there. Why isn't he going to come? I'm used to seeing him every day. And that's the case for other facilities also, is usually the doctors are not going to come in every day. They usually come in more than once a month, but it's not an everyday thing. But I think our proximity to the hospital is a wonderful thing that puts a lot of residents and their families at ease, that they know, you know, they're right there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of follow-up and doctor's appointments that they literally can just walk across the street for.
And what you're speaking of is because of your location and proximity to the main hospital, the acute center, there is a higher continuity of care than if the rehab center was 5 or 6 miles from the hospital. That's just common, common sense. One question of interest, though. If I'm in the extended care and I have to see my physician, how does that happen? I walk to that? Do you transport me? Literally, I know, you know, you're within 100 yards or 200 yards. Do you have to put me in an ambulance and take me, or is it just case specific?
Okay. Now, your own primary doctor is required to come and see you.
Okay.
So the only doctors that you're going to have to go out and see would be specialists.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an orthopedic patient, you're going to have to see your orthopedic doctor. We have a few that will come in the facility and follow the resident.
All right.
We have a few that, because, again, this is a big plus for us, we can do an x-ray. We put it in our computer system. The doctor can pull it up at his office.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the x-ray. You don't have to go to the office.
Now, is that on-site for the extended care facility? So you have the means of doing that without leaving the building, so to speak? Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of it can be done because of the hospital system on the computer, so the patient doesn't have to go. But let's just say you do have to go. GECC does not provide transportation. So it is up to the family. That is a cost that the family incurs if they cannot get them in and out their car.
Okay.
And we give them information about different wheelchair companies. Usually our residents can go by wheelchair. But our goal is to get them, and even part of the therapy is to get them in and out the car.
Okay.
You know, show them how to do a transfer, let them practice. Sometimes we practice a couple of times before that appointment comes up. And then the therapist helps them make a determination. Can they safely go by car, or do you need to go by wheelchair transport?
All right. Elizabeth, you, if I heard correctly, have been with Gwinnett Medical for 14 years?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Simple question, why? What is it that keeps you there?
I just love working in the rehab. Most of my experience is in the rehab center, and I've been there probably a year after it opened. So I know all the staff, and just it's very close to my house, and I enjoy working with the elderly and with all the staff, and also having all the resources from the hospital. We have great benefits. We have HealthQuest program at the hospital, which is for the wellness of employees. I'm an ambassador for GECC, and we have lunch and learns. We have different incentives that is provided for the staff, and I think that's just wonderful, which wasn't there when I worked in another facility, which was independent standing. So that's why I think working for the hospital system is great.
Either of you can respond to this question. What would distinguish a particular patient from being rehab oriented versus long-term care oriented?
Probably the main thing is the duration of stay. Most of your rehab patients are looking to discharge, either back home, to an assisted living, to a family member's home. So your rehab patients are looked at a very short-term basis. You know, what do you need to do to make that happen?
In short terms, we're talking about days, weeks, months. What's a typical, just a typical? It varies, right?
It varies. Yeah, okay. It varies. And the first thing you look at is their prior level. Were they very independent? Then that's your goal, to get them back there independent. Okay. Were they at home and wheelchair bound, but they could transfer? Then all you're going to focus on is transferring. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of depends on the prior level. And it depends on the disability right now. If you've had a hip, a knee, those are easy heals. You're going to heal, you're going to move, your swelling goes down. A stroke is more difficult. Mm. You may have some residual from that you're going to have to adapt your lifestyle now. Maybe you were independent and now you're going to go home in a wheelchair. So your rehab patients generally are patients that are actively on therapy 5 days a week, looking to discharge. Your long-term patients are typically the ones who have been through that and were not able to go back to their prior level. They need skilled nursing. They need someone with them 24/7, and they choose to live there at GECC with us.
So the long-term care basically is a step up from the rehab as far as the care level goes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we do offer an exercise program for our long-term patients. Okay. We do have a particular restorative aide who works with them 5 days a week. We have exercise program 3 times a week. And if any of them show any decline, we have therapists right there in the building. They're screened, evaluated, and picked right back up.
So being owned by the hospital, I'm sure that you all are pretty concerned about recidivism, about readmits. So what would you want families to know about what their role can be in preventing readmissions after a discharge from your facility back into the home?
Elizabeth and I had talked about this, and I think one of the main things is to follow up with your doctor. Go to your doctor's appointments. Take your medications. Stay as healthy as you can. Stay on your diet. If you were used to doing exercises 5 days a week at GECC, you don't need to go home and sit down. You need to continue your exercise program. And our therapists are excellent at sending home exercises. You know, this is what you can do when you're at home. And then, like Elizabeth said, as part of our discharge planning, we are setting up home therapists to come to the home and continue to work with you. Watch for small changes. Elizabeth can speak about a meeting she just went to at the hospital regarding the CHF patients.
And the congestive heart failure patients, we are giving a lot of education to families and the patients, and of course the staff also, to follow up on early signs of congestive heart failure. If they get short of breath, if they see edema, swelling on their extremities, they don't feel well, fatigued, you know, all these symptoms, we educate them every time. And then when they go home, we send them paperwork. We want family members also involved in this, because that's very important for families to be involved. So we constantly are giving education. I think it's given almost every week at the hospital. And we are continuing that in our extended care center. To watch for signs, check their weights daily. The important thing for patients to remember is to follow up with their doctors and follow the plan of care. If the doctor says take your antibiotics, make sure even if you feel well in 2 days, take the whole course. And if the doctor has advised you to go for therapy, please follow up with that therapy plan of care. Your blood sugars, all these things, blood pressures, if it needs to be monitored, make sure you monitor that.
Right. And these are things that anybody can do. And a family caregiver or a professional caregiver, it's certainly something that Griswold Home Care has been pushing real hard over the last several months as we've started to we've given education to the caregivers about exactly what you're talking about, looking for swelling or water retention, weighing the client, making sure that the follow-up physician visit is conducted. And it's really simple stuff.
Right.
And so simple actions can have a big impact on keeping someone healthy and safe in their home, wherever they call home.
Right. Yeah.
We are trying to pride ourselves as a company to be the partners for you as it relates to those readmissions. Without getting a lot of detail, we know that there are 4 to 5 specific diagnoses that basically hospitals are going to be held accountable for readmission. And though we can't practice medicine, we certainly can be another set of eyes and ears for the skilled facility. And you know as well as I do, is congestive heart failure as such. If there is a, what might be the magic number, a 5, 6, 7 pound difference in weight in the course of a day or so, someone needs to know about that.
Right. Two to three pounds
a day, okay.
And 5 in a week.
Yeah, so I'm glad you took that. Yeah. No one has really given me a specific, but now I know. Okay. That's great. That's great.
Now you mentioned education. Do you have specific education for family members then, as their loved ones are coming home?
Yes, we do. We have an education coordinator also in our building who does a lot of the education for the staff and also for the residents, and basically everybody, every nurse is able to educate the patient and the family member, and it's done throughout their stay at GECC and also at discharge, because like I said before, getting the family involved is very, very important. Because some of our residents may have dementia, they may not be able to follow everything, so that's why a family member is important, or a caregiver.
So Sandy, you mentioned that this was coming to GECC was your first experience kind of in a clinical environment. And it's been quite a few years now that you've been there, so obviously you like it. Would you ever go back to the non-clinical environment, or have you kind of fallen in love with this?
I think I've fallen in love with this. I think I would miss it. I think if I went back to just a traditional freestanding, I would be kind of lost without my resources.
Yeah.
And when I first started working at GCC, it was, oh, gosh, we have that. I didn't know. Oh, wow, I didn't know we had this. So I had to learn what was available to me and how I can use it. And now I don't know how. I do know I could do a good job without it, but it's just so great. The resources that we have and everything, it just makes it a lot easier. It's so much more we can offer to the patients and the families.
Right, right. Well, it's certainly a large health system, and being right there at the main campus gives you resources you would never have otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a little diversion. And I can't remember who spoke about a stroke victim and whatnot. Now, Gwinnett Medical Center has another rehab facility that kind of specializes in the care of stroke patients. Can you speak to that briefly? I know you don't work there, but I'd like to. They're good friends of ours, so I'm going to pluck them.
Okay. There is another rehab center. It's called John Glancy Rehab. And that is a different setting from us. They are acute rehab. We are considered subacute.
I'm always interested. Define, if you can, precisely the difference, and I know you can't, but do the best you can.
In layman's terms,
yes.
The acute rehab is for the residents that have multiple problems. It's not a simple knee or just a hip, but complications from it or other diagnosis is associated with it. It's a very short-term, 10 to 14 days,
right.
Short-term placement, very intense therapy. It's an excellent program. The resident has to be able to do at least 3 hours of therapy a day.
Mm-hmm.
That is considered a hospital-based therapy program. It's called acute care. A step down would be subacute care, which is what we would offer. So we have a lot of people that go to Joan Glancy, go through that program, maybe don't quite make it to go home and come and work with us for a few more weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them additional time. They're already doing a high level of therapy, which we can offer also. But that's the big difference. It's a big difference on their billing and their insurance coverage also.
Now, again, just for clarity, does an acute rehabilitation facility such as Glancy have staff physicians or some form of trained physicians on site on a regular basis?
Yeah, they have. They do have a doctor there, Dr. Bollet.
Unlike you all, which you don't have a staff physician in house. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so you said 10 to 14 days at Glancy. At GECC, what's kind of, obviously you've got the long-term residents, but for the rehab, what's a typical stay?
I would say anywhere between 20 to 40 days, depending on their needs and their prior level of function. Our goal is really to get them to that level, where they were before they had the surgery, before they had the fall. So it may take between 20 to 40 days.
Okay. And then, so you're the Medicare person. So just to clarify, and I think so many people, when they have their first experience, they're completely bewildered and surprised by the reality of Medicare reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the first 20 days are covered by Medicare in its entirety, but talk about what happens on day 21.
That's correct. Medicare pays 100% for the first 20 days, and from day 21 to day 100, as long as they require skilled services, they pay at 80%. Now, some of the patients may have supplements or coinsurance like Blue Cross Blue Shield or Aetna or any of those different companies, and they may cover all the 20% or they may cover part of it. So it depends. We do have a business employee who calls the insurance companies and finds out what percentage of that 20% they cover. So we have all this information even before the patient comes into our building. So when they are ready to do the admission paperwork, we have all the information. We let them know how much of it is covered and so on.
So does that 20%, does that vary or is it?
It does vary.
Okay.
Depending on the supplement that they have.
But if they had to pay cash out of their pocket, would that be, because I've heard $150, $160 a day.
That's right. It's about $144 and 50 cents per day.
About. A lady who knows her business. great information. I know that the Extended Care Center is a unique center. It is a fine center. I've been in it many times, and it's a very warm environment. And just the mere fact of being associated with the acute center, Gwinnett Medical Center, I think obviously is an enhancement. Just for the reasons that Sandy spoke of the ability to do things on site that you wouldn't have in a non-related environment. For our listening audience, and we'll begin with whoever wants to step up to the plate first. We have a family who has a loved one that's inpatient, and there's going to be discharge, and there's going to be, whether it be short-term rehab or a long-term stay. What piece of advice might you give these people as they begin down that road?
What I would tell family members and residents is if they have a scheduled surgery, we see a lot of these residents, they visit different facilities even before their surgery. We have had several of them come over and they are ready to pick our facility. They say, we are having surgery on so-and-so date and we would like to come here for rehab. So we write down their names and just keep that at the back of our mind. The important thing is sometimes it might be an emergency surgery. Then family members, I would advise them to tour different facilities. Tour all the facilities that are close by, have facilities picked out, number 1, 2, 3, and I would start right from the day your loved one is at the hospital, because don't wait for that discharge notice, don't wait for the day of discharge. Then you're scrambling trying to find facilities, because some facilities may be full. So I would have at least 3 or 4 facilities lined up, number 1, 2, 3, 4. And then if the first one is full, go to the second one and third one. But the social worker and the case manager from the hospitals help in that process a lot.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no way to put down a deposit on a bed and have it done. That's right.
We don't have a waiting list.
Yeah. Sandy, how would you respond to that question?
I would agree with Elizabeth 100%. Don't wait until you're told your mom's going to discharge in the morning. You're stressed, you're panicked, you don't know what to do. Start at the beginning when you're calm, you can look, you can ask questions. We tell everyone when they're touring, look at the residents, look at the staff. Are they happy? Are they clean? How's the smell? That goes with any facility, with any tour. But look and go and look before you get stressed, before you're down to the last minute. Maybe you won't need skilled nursing facility when it comes down to it, but at least you've done your homework. Yeah. The other piece is the insurance is huge. There's so many more people now that are dropping traditional Medicare. They're going with these Medicare replacements, and a lot of those are requiring prior authorization before a resident can even go into a facility. Sometimes we have found that it's 2 days we're waiting for authorization, and you cannot admit a patient till you get that authorization. Mm-hmm. So if you have a Medicare replacement, it's good to start looking at your benefits. It pays a lot different than traditional Medicare. Some are better, some are worse. Some of them have huge deductibles. And sometimes that's the stopping factor right there in a person coming into a facility. So look at the insurance piece very closely right at the beginning.
That's great advice. Simple mm-hmm. words, be proactive and not reactive. And unfortunately, humans... the natural tendency is not to try to address what's uncomfortable or not to address the uncomfortable, but if they do so in a proactive mode, it usually is much better for everyone.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. If we have our listeners that for whatever reason might want to get with either one of you or just in general with the Extended Care Center, how can they do so?
Our main number is 678-312-3000, and we have a receptionist there who can direct the call. Sandy Thurber is our social worker and also with the admissions, and her number is 678-312-3064. And I'm Elizabeth Joseph. I'm the Medicare nurse and help with admissions, and my number is 678-312-3063.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Sandy, for being a return guest. Maybe in another year we can do the same thing again.
I'd love it.
And Elizabeth, we thank you for being on the show and love to have you back.
Thank you, sir. And I would love to come back.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate that. That's it for today. We once again thank Sandy and Elizabeth for being our co-host and our guest. We want to remind the listeners that if they want to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And as we always close, if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.